Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show, favorite it, and it gets brought to your inbox for your podcast selection each and every day. And we put out anywhere from 3 to 5 podcasts from the show each day, so you could check us out there in case you're not able to listen between 3 and 6 p.m. on weekdays. It is 410, 81 degrees on this Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. Thanks for joining the second hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. Was just following up, and the texter was absolutely right. The ducking of the Jeep started in 2020. Actually started in Canada. A small town in Canada in 2020. A woman named Allison Parliament from Ontario randomly bought a bunch of rubber ducks from a convenience store and gave one to another Jeep owner with a note that said, "Have a great day." The intent was to bring a smile to an individual and spread a little cheer that we all needed during the pandemic. Small interaction turned into a much better than expected. The Jeep owner walked out of the store at first, was confused when he saw the rubber duck being placed on the Jeep. However, after reading the note that was left behind, he left a huge smile on his face that night. Duck Duck Jeep was born after being posted on Instagram, and the rest is history. So a social media phenomenon because one woman just wanted to give someone a smile. That's how it goes. So yeah, if you ever see the little rubber ducks all over the dashboard of a lot of Jeeps, I'm not a big fan of that, but you know, it's a cool thing to do. It's a camaraderie thing, and I'm telling you, this whole Jeep stuff, and I'm getting text messages from Jeep owners. They're a fun vehicle. You know, we have a few of them in our parking lot here, and when we're all here, we'll all park together. And like I said, you got the Jeep V-Wave, and that started after World War II when the veterans came home, and a lot of them bought the Jeeps that they were using, the Wileys. And you know, when they saw each other, it was a sign that you know, there was a brotherhood there. And now, you know, you got guys, girls, Jeeps are Jeeps. Like I said, my wife has her Jeep. My daughter has her second Jeep now. And we'll see. I was trying to get my wife to get the Gladiator because it's kind of a mix between a small pickup and a Jeep Wrangler, but she does not like the Gladiator. So she's got her Jeep now, so we'll see where it goes. Well, it's interesting because I've seen the governor posting a lot on social media, taking credit for a lot of things that aren't his, like the Sunday hunting. You know, he tried to take credit for that the other day. And he was talking about all the data center investments in Pennsylvania. And again, that has, and he tried to say for the past 2 years, these data centers, first of all, buddy, governor, come on. The data centers only started in this administration for the past 5-6 months. With the change of energy policies is when data centers said, "Hey, this looks like our time." And they have been looking to really invest in our area, and they are putting their money where their mouth is. But for the governor to take credit for setting an environment for the data center and AI revolution in Pennsylvania, come on now, we all know. But it's politics, right? Of course he's going to take credit for anything good, ignore it, just like he tried to extend that this started during the Biden administration. Believe me, the Biden administration AI centers were not looking to do anything in Pennsylvania. It's because of the change in energy policy. It's because the freedom that has been given for industry that all this interest has now been shown. But one of the other things, and we're going to talk about some more of the posts he did, because he talked about some, you know, was pushing about how good it is to be open and transparent. Yeah, only when it's not to do with him and maybe the sexual harassment settlements that his administration had to settle. You know, he doesn't want to be open and transparent about that. Or the woman when he was attorney general who had, you know, 20 or 30 stab wounds, some to the back, that was ruled a suicide. Now it's not ruled a suicide anymore. So what went wrong there? But he doesn't want to be open and transparent about that either. Again, we'll talk about that later in the show. Here is something that affects every one of us. Critical state payments to schools, county child welfare agencies, and other state agencies will be delayed as the budget impasse continues. You know, what I haven't seen the governor post a lot of is his commitment to getting a budget through, his commitment to sitting down with both Democrats and Republicans, because that's what it's going to take here. You have the Democrats control the House, you have Republicans control the Senate. And it is the governor's job to sit down because it's his budget. It's up to him to sit down and say, hey, we need to come to an agreement. You guys got to give up some. You guys got to give up some. No one's going to be 100% happy, but at least we will get a budget to our people. Every school district in the Commonwealth is suffering. Child welfare agencies are suffering. All the entities that depend on state funding do not know where they stand until a budget is solidified and signed. So a lot of guessing is going on with these budgets, and every school district is planning their budget, if not have approved their budget. They don't know where they stand. Do we need to come up with millions of dollars or more money? Is this money going to come? Are we going to get more than we wanted to come? It just sets up an entire screw the pooch moment here, because say these school districts do increase their taxes on the taxpayer because they're not expecting, they cannot depend on the money they think they're going to get. And then they end up getting that money, maybe even more. Do you think they're going to go back and rescind their votes and reduce the tax rate for you people? No, they're not. So now they're taxing you more where they really didn't need to, because they're not going to give up the money that they already have it. They already passed it. They already got through the rough part. You know, they already got through the heat of that tax increase, so they're not going to go back and bring it up again. But the state will be unable to make at least a $2.5 billion payment to schools, counties, and key service providers due to Pennsylvania's ongoing budget impasse. The two letters, viewed by reporters, signed by the Secretary of Budget for Pennsylvania, the administration told a host of providers, from tech schools to libraries to ambulance services to homeless shelters, that payments will be delayed over the next 6 weeks. Negotiations are continuing, and the dialogue is respectful and productive. However, finding agreement can be slow-moving, and we have yet to come to a final agreement. Well, maybe you should have started sooner. Maybe as soon as you complete this budget, you should start on the next one. All told, letters warn that delays of $2 billion worth of education funding, most of it consisting of delayed monthly payments to school districts, and $542 million in health and human services funding, most of it to county child welfare offices. Both letters conclude that as soon as the budget bill is delivered by the legislature to the governor's desk for signature, the administration will work expeditiously to get money out to providers. Pennsylvania lawmakers were supposed to complete the budget by June 30th, but have been unable to reach a deal due to deep disagreements over state spending. Capital sources previously stated that Democrat Governor Josh Shapiro proposed a $51.4 billion budget in February, up from a $48.3 billion budget last year. So, you know, our fiduciary responsible governor, $3 billion more budget from last year to this year. Remember that when he wants to run for his next stepping stone. Much of the proposed increase accounts for raising Medicaid costs alongside continued aid for poor school districts and more money for mass transit. That's right. The Pennsylvania taxpayer is looking to pad the mass transit systems in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh at the result of less robust roads and infrastructure for us here in the rest of the Commonwealth, because they know where their votes come from. However, Republicans who control the state Senate have balked at such increases. The proposed spending is well above the state's likely revenues next year. Shapiro pitched using the state's ample cash reserves to make up the difference. After those dollars run out, the state would either need to reduce spending or increase revenue. On the savings side, Shapiro and the state Senate Republicans want to reduce Medicaid patients' eligibility for expensive weight loss drugs. That's it, too. You know, our tax dollars are paying for people on Medicaid. It's Ozempic and Wegovy and stuff like that. Weight loss drugs. Stuff that normal health insurance does not cover. But if you're being funded by the taxpayer and their Medicare, their health benefits, you'll why not pay for it, right? And also one of the big cash cows in the governor's budget was the legalization of marijuana. That's not happening in this budget anyway. But instead of politicking and doing a lot of really nothing, where's the leadership of the governor? Where is his social media prowess? You know, he increased his social media crew, his employees there, tenfold from former governors. Because, you know, he's got to have a good persona out there. You know, we were talking about Jasmine Crockett and her social media persona and how in tune she is with it and how narcissist she is with it. Well, she should take a lesson from our governor. He's increased his staff for his public persona tenfold. Maybe he should use some of that to pressure, even embarrass at this point. I mean, we have school districts, our child welfare systems, our health and human services systems for each county, not getting checks now, $2 billion. Maybe he should pressure them to sit down and offer the table that he says is so open to come to an agreement, because it's been over a month now, today, and nothing. And they were just warned that the checks aren't going out anymore. So it's just a matter of time before people start not getting paid. And we go through this. This is the fourth year that this has happened. And we keep putting up with it as the taxpayers. We keep electing mediocrity to our government. But if the governor truly wants to show leadership, this is his podium right here. You want to take the next step in politics, possibly run for president? How about you lead from the front here with your own state budget? Instead of running around the state saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, while you solve absolutely nothing. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I'm just seeing an alert of check your cans. Mislabeled drinks were sent to stores across 8 states in late July. Vodka seltzers were sold as Celsius in a recall mix-up. Celsius is like an energy drink, I gather. And I guess forgot exactly what I was saying. So Celsius is this energy drink, and they send these vodka seltzers. Could you imagine? Are you gonna say, hey, you can have this back? But 8 states got a mix-up, and they're recalling them now. But I'll take the vodka and seltzers over the Celsius and energy drink in this mix-up there. So if you drink Celsius and it didn't seem right to you, it could be vodka and seltzer. Looking at the some text messages coming in, somebody said, Rob, I'm not a friend of this governor, but I believe that the Three Mile Island and data center was announced over a year ago. And it was September 2024. You are right. Again, with the election being a month away, I think they kind of saw where the tide was turning. Outside of the media lying about what the potential polls were, I think it was kind of evident that Kamala Harris didn't really have a chance to win that. And the results showed that in November. So I think the billion-dollar companies that were investing in our area also have a very in-tune grip on which way the political atmosphere is turning when it comes to billion-dollar investments, because they have entire departments that are there just for that. Okay, this is what we're looking to do. What does the political environment look like for us to get to from point A to point B? And I think the writing was already on the wall that there would be a new direction as far as government went, and it would be the right time for energy purposes and such like that. I'm really surprised, even to today, and I think it's been more embraced today, the lack of pushback on not only the reopening and reintroduction of our nuclear facilities, but the actual expansion and looking to build more. It's ultimately the clean energy, and I think we absolutely should be. Until we start seeing all the nuclear power plants along California start to open back up, if that happens, I will really gain a lot of hope. But it's interesting to see the lack of environmental pushback on it. And have we finally, as an entire entity, embraced that the nuclear power is the ultimate clean energy? Because it truly is. And it beats a whole else, and it's one of the better and more stable. It's 4:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 4:36 on this Wednesday, July 30th. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. And today in the Commonwealth, we have three on this date. We'll start with Lieutenant Daniel J. McCann, Philadelphia Police Department, on this day in 1964. Was shot to death by an unruly woman he had ejected from a bar at 11th and Spruce Street in Center City. The woman, who had been creating a disturbance in the bar, pulled a revolver from her handbag and fired. The 31-year-old suspect was convicted of voluntary manslaughter on September 17, 1965, and sentenced to an undetermined term in the State Industrial Institution for Women at Muncie. She was paroled January 7, 1970. Lieutenant McCann was a United States Navy veteran of World War II and served in the Philadelphia Police Department for 14 years. He was survived by his wife and three children. A patrol wagon driver, George D. Kent, Scranton Police Department in Pennsylvania, in 1910 on this day. Officer Kent was shot and killed after he and another officer responded to a call from a homeowner reporting that a group of people were attempting to blow up his house. When the officer arrived, the homeowner opened fire on them with a rifle, killing Officer Kent. The other officers returned fire, killing the suspect. Again, this was on this day in 1910. Police Officer William Henry Nienberg, Philadelphia Police Department, in 1881. Police officer suffered a fatal heart attack after arresting a disorderly subject at the intersection of 27th Street and Federal Street. Another officer had attempted to arrest two men who were throwing ashes at people walking along the street. The men resisted, and Officer Nienberg rushed to his assistance. Both men were then taken into custody. As he was walking the men to the station, he suddenly collapsed. Officer Nienberg was a Union Army veteran of the Civil War and had served with the Philadelphia Police Department for less than 3 years, survived by his wife and children. Again, this was 1881. And those are our three, one of them just being from here in our area, patrol wagon driver George D. Kent, Scranton Police Department, on this day in 1910. And those are our three from today that we honor and thank, just as we do all our first responders from our area and around the area, that when they get a call that someone needs help, that their life is in danger, that there is a dangerous situation, they go without question, respond and put themselves between that danger and us, the public. And we could not be thankful enough, and we can never repay for the sacrifices for those who have made the ultimate sacrifice or what their family have endured since. We're seeing that in real time, unfortunately, in areas across New York, across the nation, especially recently in New York City. It is coming up on 4:40 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast from Chief Meteorologist Kurt Aaron. We did have some storms moving through the area. That rain was coming down heavy. I would suspect that we're going to have a little of this for the next couple of days. So just be careful if you're driving around when these storms hit. Tonight, warm and humid. A shower still possible. Low of 68. Tomorrow, Thursday, scattered showers and storms. A high of 78. Thursday night, cloudy and cooler with scattered showers. Less, though. A low of 58. Starts to cool off. Friday, morning clouds, breezy and clearing in the afternoon, a high of 76. Saturday and Sunday, sunny and less humid, 82 on Saturday, 85 on Sunday. Beautiful weekend ahead of us here. It is currently 80 degrees here at 440 at your official weather station, WILK. Time for the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for Isabella Restaurant. And you got two great deals here. A dinner deal, get a $50 gift certificate for only $25. Or a lunch deal, get a $30 gift certificate for only $15. Serving Italian-American cuisine and seafood using seasonal ingredients from local farms whenever possible. Beyond Bistro in the Solano Room seats up to 45 guests with an 80-inch flat-screen TV and Wi-Fi. Great for special occasions, corporate events, or parties. Located 315 in Wilkes-Barre, visit getmyperks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Because it's time for today in history, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? Before we get started with that, I got some text message on traffic accident at 315 at Laughlin, already backed up to the dealerships northbound. I appreciate Texter on that information there. Well, here's an overview of some notable events that happened on this day in history. 1945, the USS Indianapolis sunk. After delivering parts for the first atomic bomb to Tinian Island, the USS Indianapolis was torpedoed by a Japanese submarine. Of the 1,196 crewmen, about 300 went down with the ship. The remaining 900 faced exposure, dehydration, and shark attacks while awaiting rescue. Only 316 of the 900 survived. This was what is known in history as the greatest shark attack in Navy history. Great majority of them were taken by shark attacks. Tragedy became one of the worst naval disasters in U.S. history and a subject of later investigation and remembrance. 1965, Medicare and Medicaid signed into law. President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Social Security Amendments of 1965 at the Truman Library in Missouri. The legislation created Medicare for seniors and Medicaid for low-income individuals, two foundational programs of the American social safety net. Former President Harry S. Truman was issued the first Medicare card, honoring his earlier efforts to promote national health insurance. Who would have known then it would have became a anchor for illegal immigrants everywhere. Some notable birthdays today. Henry Ford, 1863, founder of the Ford Motor Company, pioneer of the assembly line, modern industrial manufacturing. His innovations transformed both the automobile industry and the American economy. You could thank a five-day work week, eight-hour days for Henry Ford as well. Emily Bronte, 1818, though British, her influence was deeply felt in American literary studies through the Wuthering Heights and its Gothic tradition. Some other events on this day. 2003, the last Oldsmobile rolled off the line. General Motors produced the last Oldsmobile, marking the end of America's oldest car brand after more than a century in business. 1956, In God We Trust becomes the official U.S. motto, signed into law by President Eisenhower, replacing E Pluribus Unum. The first appeared on coins during the Civil War, but became the official motto during the Cold War to contrast the U.S. with the atheist Soviet Union. And that's pretty much an overview of today in U.S. history. And again, just to bring you up, there was an accident at 315 at Laughlin. It's already backed up to the dealerships northbound, and I appreciate the texter for that information there. Just looking to see if anything else is coming up on the scan here before we go to a break. There's a lot of our politicians. You know what it is. They got a lot of time on their hands, so they're spending a lot of time on social media. And our governor, Josh Shapiro, took today's anniversary of Medicaid and Medicare to of course, talk about the 315 people that may no longer have Medicaid and Medicare due to the votes of Republicans in Congress. I guess the governor of Pennsylvania and I guess the future candidate for president for the Democrat Party, because that's what he's shooting for, we know this, wants the taxpayer, the American taxpayer, to pay for illegal immigrants on Medicare and able-bodied Americans to receive these benefits that were made for people, not so much in that case. So it's interesting how they lump it all together and they don't want to break it down for you and let you know exactly who. But listen, with every doom and gloom scenario that they have brought out since January, not a single one. The tariffs were going to bring us into a recession. They're going to crash the economy. The stock market is done. Everything's going downhill. Every single economic metric right now is in the positive. Every single one. And like I said, if you follow me on social media yesterday, I brought back a post from April to where I was called names because I was saying, wait it out. The ups and downs is what the stock market does. It's been in a positive. It's going to head in a positive. Do you know the thousands of dollars you made if you stuck it out, which I did? Hopefully that person that was calling me names did as well. Because if they pulled the plug there, they missed out on thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. It was all because of the panic, because the media and everyone else saying how crazy this administration is going to be. It's going to be the end of the world. And people bought into that. People did cash in their 401ks, their IRAs, their savings. And you know what? You lost a ton of money by doing such. Just look at the market from April to today. Every one of them. It's all in the positive. We'll see. Here we go. We got Joe from Edwardsville on the USS Indianapolis. Joe.
How you doing, Rob? Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned the Indianapolis today. I hadn't thought about it in a while. And, you know full well, I'm sure, that was a big storyline underlying Jaws. That Quint, the captain of the fishing boat, was a vet of the Indianapolis. Well, I read a biography of the captain from the Indianapolis, and the comedy of errors that led to that sinking. And this was and we talk about these kind of things from time to time, this was a man of honor, a true sailor, a true patriot. And it destroyed him, the investigations that went into this and pinning the blame for the whole mess on him. And, you know, we were making it up as we went along because, you know, no one had ever heard of an atomic bomb before. And, you know, trying to get all the moving parts together. But by the time all was said and done, and again, my firm belief is that he was a man of honor. When he couldn't take it anymore, he took his own life. And just to, you know, step further into that arena, what he did was he went out in his yard, laid down with his head against the ground, put the gun to his head, and blew his brains out, just to make sure that there wouldn't be a huge mess in his home or no one else would have to clean up his thing and see that. Now, was it, you know, obviously not the best way to handle the situation, but he obviously felt there was nowhere left to go. He had spent his whole life building his career, and here it was with the things that went wrong for his ship to go down and all those men to be lost. It makes me teary-eyed every time I think about it, that this guy went through what he went through. And I'm sorry, I know I'm starting to babble and I'll stop. But, you know, since we talk about heroes and police and first responders and vets all the time, I just thought I would throw this into the mix.
Well, I appreciate you calling in with the extra information on that as well. And it was, to this day, one of the most tragic events in Navy history, especially when it comes, you know, last week being Shark Week, they did talk about it quite a bit, especially on the military channel. They covered it a bunch of times.
Oh, I'm sure they did. And, you know, if sharks could think the way we do, they would have been thinking target-rich environment. It was, and, you know, as it's, he was directed on how the path that he should take back from Kenyan. And it was such a secret mission that they couldn't even send a distress signal. And it was, like I say, the comedy of errors and the perfect storm of things that went into all those men losing their lives. It was just tragic and will always be so.
You will indeed. Sorry, brother. That's why we remember it on days like this. Joe, I appreciate your call today.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a good one.
Thank you. It's 4:54 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Let's go to the phone now. We have Jeannie from Dixon City. Jeannie, I have about a little over 2 minutes.
Okay. So, first of all, I think that your comments about Medicare and Medicaid are a slap in the face to a lot of people who live in this region who use those, which are primarily low-income and seniors. And I'd like to know where you're getting that illegal immigrants are getting those benefits, because they don't qualify for them.
Well, they do. They are qualified for emergency Medicaid. Undocumented immigrants do. They also qualify for CHIP options in Pennsylvania. This is in Pennsylvania, and
right. CHIP is for children, though. CHIP is for children.
Also includes undocumented children.
Yeah, any children. Like
okay,
children,
so it covers undocumented immigrants, doesn't it?
Okay, undocumented children. They're born here, so they're citizens. And I'm going to ask you also, what do you think cutting those benefits is going to do to the hospitals and healthcare systems in this region who depend primarily on payment from things like Medicare and Medicaid?
Well, then they should get a better model that doesn't depend on payments for illegal immigrants from Medicare and Medicaid, because I'm not talking about people who deserve Medicaid and Medicare, but you're saying illegal immigrants don't get it, but they do. They get get emergency Medicaid. They do. Their kids get CHIP. And they also have expanded the definition under the Biden administration to where he granted temporary legal status, and they qualify, for Medicaid.
I work in healthcare. It's not true. It could not be further from the truth. I really wish you would stop saying this, and you say stuff like this every single day.
Well, it is true, and you know it's true, because you said that. So illegal immigrants don't get emergency Medicaid. That doesn't cover their emergency rooms.
They don't.
Yeah, they do.
Emergency room care is covered under the law. Anybody, they can't turn people away. It has nothing to do. You or I could go to the emergency room.
Undocumented immigrants in Pennsylvania can access emergency Medicaid, which covers treatment for emergency medical conditions, and Medicaid pays for it.
Okay. They can't sign up for Medicaid. They don't pay into it.
Medicaid pays for it, doesn't it?
No.
It doesn't?
Medicaid doesn't. They do not. I don't know where you're getting this from. Can you cite your source? Can you give us proof? Because you never seem to be able to do that.
Yeah, the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services website, Pennsylvania Health Law.
They don't qualify for these benefits.
I'm reading it direct from the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services website.
They don't. You love to throw that around. Again, and you're saying that these hospitals should just get a new model. So you're just saying that you know, people, you know, like Geisinger and Commonwealth Health should just get a new model. Like, that's not solving the problem. What is this going to do to the hospital systems when those benefits get cut, as they just did? What is your solution to the people who work for those health
Well, I think your scare tactics are just that. And if they're relying on payments only for Medicare, then yes, maybe they need to deal with their own costs.
They do. They have their own costs. But the majority of the patients that come through Geisinger Mount Pleasant, in Scranton, receive Medicare and Medicaid, and a lot of them are senior citizens.
And if they're not able-bodied people and they're disabled and they deserve the program, it's not going anywhere.
But who's to say who deserves it? Again, like
the law will dictate who gets it and who doesn't.
No, it won't. If people are going to die from this. Yeah, well, people like my mother who has cancer.
What hospital do you work for, Jeannie? What health group do you work for?
I'm not disclosing who I work for.
I figured that as much. Jeannie, thanks for the call and your opinion on the case. I think you're wrong and you think I'm wrong, and that's where we'll leave it. All right. Jake, we'll leave it there.